Good evening. Can I start by thanking Vaughan for inviting me here this evening? It must have been 9 long months ago, I think, when he first invited me. And clearly a lot has happened in that intervening period, but it's a real pleasure to be here and to join with you in this penultimate Lent speech. The title was that Vaughan gave me was Faith in Education, Perspectives on Religious and Learning. And can I say that in the past 22 months, there are many things that I've had to challenge me. Sadly, my time being spent on education has not been quite what I had expected, but such has been the distractions, really, of having been down in Parliament at such a challenging time. But education has always been something very important to me, very fundamental to my life and to that of my family, and very much a core thing in my formative years, given that my father was himself, well, both my parents, in fact, were in education. My father is a primary head teacher, my mother actually as an assistant at the school. But the religion and education is always something, I think, both, that we look at it from very much a personal perspective, and how we engage with both and how we were engaged by them, I think, is a very interesting subject. And it's for that reason that I actually chose to talk to several young people in the area in their 20s to get some perspective of how they see education and religion today, really to perhaps contrast it with that perhaps I experienced as a child of the 60s and 70s. I'll come to those views shortly, but perhaps I could just give you a little bit more about myself. I always think it's very interesting to understand the person who's speaking to you and their background and what context they arrive at their conclusions, their perspective. I went to a primary school in southern Hertfordshire. It was a local authority-maintained community school, as we'd perhaps describe it today. My mother was very heavily involved in the local church. She used to play piano at Sunday school, and we would all go along. And my godparents, sadly, weren't so involved in the church, but they used to give us Coca-Cola every Sunday when we used to go and visit them after church, and we'd get free comics. And that was some incentive, given it was the only Coca-Cola we ever got during the week. But it meant that we went weekly, and we took our scripture exams. I'm glad to say I passed. And that was very much central to my foundation, really, in Christian faith, and really, I think, how my code of ethics and moral compass was set. My secondary school was essentially a church school. It was actually right next to St. Albans Abbey, if you know that town. And we would go to the Abbey every Monday and Friday for our service and for prayers. And that, along with our assemblies during the week, I think very much had a huge influence on me in how I viewed Christianity. But it meant also that I went to church on a Sunday evening, and we would have a thing called table fellowship. And for a little village of 3,000 people, we used to get 20, 30 of us in our teens along to that group. It was a very strong group, and I learned a great deal from it. But what I would say about my education, and I said I would make it quite personal and really contrast it with the views of others, was that I sadly went through an education where we had very little formal religious education within the school itself. We did a thing called Every One Thing, but we never really talked about other forms of religion. We didn't talk about philosophy. And I really look back on that and think that was such a great void in my education, my formative experience. But I guess one of the greater influences was that of my father, who was a primary head, as I mentioned. He was in a very tough part of northeast London, where the riots broke out back in 2012. A very challenging, very deprived area. And that, his attitude, the ethos that he brought to that community school was very important to me, including an ambition to promote and be charged with helping to facilitate community cohesion in a Christian way, and I would say perhaps a Christian light kind of way. But he did seek to promote through education a more humane, just, and inclusive society. I remember when some gypsies arrived on the estate, and this is back in the early 70s, how he opened his arms to the families, brought them into the school, and actually made a film about society, community, called One World, and really tried to teach tolerance amongst the community and amongst those young people. But he celebrated the different and diverse cultures. And those influences really did, as I say, have a profound effect on me. And these teachings of attitude and tolerance have been very, very core. Of course, faith has been central and integral to the development of education for a very long time, for centuries. It was, of course, the faith organizations whose long and pioneering tradition of providing education, dating back to the medieval times, but was essentially consolidated through provisions made in the Victorian era that underpins much of what we see in our schools today. The church schools founded in the 19th century aimed to offer basic education to the poor at a time when the state made no such provision. What a fabulous thing that was. And when you look around at our schools today, you realize just how central they were in the development of our school system. And those early providers were motivated by the firm Christian conviction that each child was made in God's image, and that free access to education would help them realize their potential, flourish as human beings, and thus escape poverty and degradation. And the explosion in the provision of education, the investment in schools, was a seminal period for this country. Perhaps it was the real watershed was the introduction of the Education Act, though, in 1944 under Rab Butler. And it's incredible now to think that in a time of world war and deep national crisis, and no echoes that there are today, that such an important piece of visionary legislation could be conceived. That's certainly something I'll reflect on tomorrow back in Parliament. But today we accept free primary and secondary education as a national birthright. Pre-war, things were very different, of course. Most pupils left school at 14, and it was Butler's Act that introduced compulsory education to 15 with a clause to raise it to 16, and any fee paying at state schools was forbidden. And church schools, you may well be aware, were then brought into the national system. In many ways, like perhaps so many of you, I was the beneficiary of that act. You know, as a child of the 1960s, as I said, I was brought up in a state school and then a church school, and very much brought up with the Christian tradition. And that teaching was integrated into our daily schooling, as I said. And then through the decades, I guess, since then, we've had some very strong education secretaries. Kenneth Baker, who I happened to meet last weekend, David Blunkett, and more recently Michael Gove. And what is interesting, I think, with all this is how individuals very much see education through their own eyes and what was good for them and how they like to perhaps suggest that would be good for others. I'm never quite sure about that personally. We all come at it with our own experiences, whether it was good or bad. And I know good friends of mine who went through the same schooling who look back on those periods with fear and loathing. But that's possibly what can happen. And today, of course, we have free schools, we have academies, we have maintained schools, we have private schools. And I think for me, one of the big issues is inclusivity and where we are and where we will be in the future. And that's why I asked these young people, really, for their views, just to understand how they saw education today in the Warwick and Leamington area. All three live locally, excuse me, and are of different heritage. I'll just give it a couple of quotes, really. One said, I have a pretty favorable view about religion and education. I think it's important that families can choose to have their children brought up in a certain faith with the support of a school, and that's where children spend much of their time. My experience was that religion was certainly part of the school. We had prayers and hymns every morning, if I remember rightly, and regular mass with a priest from St. Peter's. They'd also come in to offer confession at Easter and Christmas for pupils who wanted this. The school would also facilitate preparation for taking sacraments, which would be much more difficult to arrange outside of a school environment. And I remember having weekly sessions with other pupils in the weeks leading up to my confirmation. It doesn't really affect the curriculum. We were still taught about other faiths in a similar way to other schools. And I found that really enlightening. I found that incredibly positive, that things have moved on. Education and religion are perhaps closer in many respects, and that young people's understanding and tolerance and appreciation of religion is that much greater than perhaps it was, dare I say, in my time. A second said, I went to a non-religious school and feel very lucky to have been taught about all religions from an early age. Although the balance probably swayed slightly towards Christianity, we always celebrated Diwali, and one of our theatrical productions comprised entirely of Hindi songs. Very interesting. And finally, the third said, I see a clear positive of faith schools as being able to maintain different communities and cultures that are built around religion, which would otherwise potentially be lost. Add into that the fact that many parents want to have their child schooled in an environment that is in line with their religious beliefs. Moreover, I think that religion can serve as a common cultural reference point for children when they are in school, which can help them feel more comfortable and as part of a wider community in which students can learn more about their culture and so on. But he did say, I see negatives in it, or can be negatives in it. In a situation where a faith school is the primary school in an area, it forces many to be part of an environment that make them feel uncomfortable. He goes on to say that he felt a little uncomfortable in his primary school when he was forced to sing Christian hymns. He happened to be a young Sikh, because it was not part of his cultural background and beliefs. But he did appreciate it, and it was important to his integration, really, into the local society, having exposure to that. He just sought, perhaps, that there was greater exposure to the Hindu faith in his school. So those experiences for me were quite useful because, as I said, it's very easy just to see things from your own experience, your own upbringing, your own pair of eyes. And I found that not just enlightening, but very useful in terms of helping inform me about how I view religion and education and how religious learning can help inform in our schools. And of course, today, as I said, we have different school systems. We have community schools, voluntary controlled schools, voluntary aided schools, and so on. And this is perhaps one of the great challenges for the future, is the different types of school that we have in our community and how that works really in providing coherent, cohesive communities, really, where we have inclusion and we don't allow communities to become more and more exclusive, which can possibly happen. And perhaps of late we've seen some of the challenges to this. In France and US, I think there is a more, slightly more secular approach to how they separate schools and religion. Yet their religious affiliation in terms of regular attendance in church, perhaps followers of Christianity, seem to be higher than perhaps in the UK. What I was referring to, really, about this exclusivity or inclusivity, perhaps is concerning with the recent events in Birmingham, where we saw challenges, really, in some communities about whether the teaching of relationships under personal, social, and health education and citizenship, whether they should be actually allowed in certain schools. And that's something that I think we have to have a debate about, because I think all young people should be given exposure and understanding to the issues of the day and more tolerant and understanding of all those in our society. So in summary, I've tried to give you some of my personal views, really, on religion and education, and tried to give it more flavor and color, perhaps, with the opinions of others. I was very lucky to attend a school that had a strong Christian ethos, and I think that certainly helped forge my moral views and attitudes. And actually, many friends from that period would certainly support that claim. So much of what is fundamental to me, my values, my morals, my attitudes, really come from that period, from my teenage years, although I'm not a regular churchgoer today. But it is when I find myself in Parliament and I we have prayers. You probably perhaps aren't aware of this, but before every session of Parliament, we do have prayers. And I have to say right now, it is incredibly powerful and important and useful to be focused and supported by the words that are read to us by the minister in Parliament before we start our debates. But certainly from my education, and I believe what is good about religion and religious learning in education is sharing and developing those important facets, really, of humanity, which are so important to all of us: tolerance, respect, mutuality, a cooperation, a sense of compromise, and trustworthiness, and others. All for me have come from that education and an appreciation, really, of others in our community through that. My only regret, as I say, is that I didn't have the chance to gain a better understanding of other religions and other faiths at that time. But I do think it is important, and I want to acknowledge, really, that it should be a reasonable aspiration of parents and carers, as I see it, to educate their children in the context of a faith world view. But central to this must be inclusivity at every level, whether it be of talents or beliefs, and that exclusion in any form must be prevented. Education, I believe, should embrace diversity in all its forms. And certainly, religion and philosophy have a joint role to play in the development of young people, and I wish to see this continue. However, I would urge that fundamentalism, that is evident in schools in the United States in places, for example, should never be permitted here. Tolerance born of better and mutual understanding is urgently needed. Today, as we see societies polarizing and divisions becoming greater and more entrenched, it is important that we encourage mutual understanding of faiths and differing philosophies. And I include civic responsibility in that too, as well as politics, to ensure that future generations are better equipped to deal with the challenges of tomorrow. Exclusivity, isolationism, and social and political disintegration all threaten our society, and the international community and the teaching of faith in all its forms is going to be central and important in helping reunite us. Thank you.